الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصم وقال عز وجل إنا أنزلناه في ليلة القدر وما أدراك ما ليلة القدر ليلة القدر خير من ألف شهر تنزل الملائكة والروح فيها بإذن ربهم من كل أمر سلام هي حتى مطلع الفجر صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا الا ما علمتنا انك انت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلم تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته الله سبحانه وتعالى through his grace and mercy afforded us the opportunity to pass through the blessed month of Ramadan. We are in the second day of Ramadan, and soon after approximately 5 hours, we would have completed 2 days of Ramadan. And after the completion of 2 days, either 27 days or 28 days of this blessed month will remain. The question we need to ask ourselves is, what am I supposed to do in the month of Ramadan? How should I spend the month of Ramadan? What are the a'mal that I should engage in? The principle we need to keep in our minds is that I need to spend the month of Ramadan in such a way that I do not waste a single moment of Ramadan. Not single day, not single hour, not single minute, single moment. I cannot waste even a part of a minute. I should not waste even a part of a second. This month is so valuable, so valuable, so valuable, that I cannot afford to waste any moment of this month. And we who have been neglectful of the previous months of Ramadan that have passed, some of us may have been neglectful for 5 Ramadans, some of us 20, some of us 10, some of us 30, some of us 40, depending on our ages. Majority of us will not be able to say that I have valued the month of Ramadan the way it should have been valued. Even the very pious ones, those who do not waste a single moment, those who continually strive throughout the month of Ramadan, even they would feel at the end of the Ramadan that we were not able to value the month of Ramadan as it should have been valued. The likes of Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki Rahimahullahu Ta'ala, the likes of Shah Abdul Rahim Raipuri Rahimahullahu Ta'ala, the likes of Hadrat Shaykhul Hind Maulana Mahmudul Hasan Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi, they would toil, they would exert effort during the month of Ramadan more than they would do outside Ramadan. Their life was full of toil for the hereafter, for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the proximity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, outside Ramadan also. So imagine how much they must be toiling during the month of Ramadan. It is recorded regarding Shah Abdul Rahim Raipuri Rahmatullahi Alayhi, that he would rarely sleep more than 1 hour during the month of Ramadan. The maximum he would sleep would be 1 hour during the whole month of Ramadan. Only sometimes he would go beyond 1 hour, 1.5 hour, 2 hours. And despite sleeping very less, he would spend the whole night reciting the glorious Quran. Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki Rahimahullahu Ta'ala, during the month of Ramadan, he would never sleep during the night. After the Maghrib Salat, he would delay the Isha Salat. So after the Maghrib Salat, after Iftar, two Huffaz would lead him in Nafal Salah before Taraweeh. And each Hafiz would recite one Juz. So he would perform Maghrib Salah. After the Maghrib Salah, he would have his Futur, Iftar. And after Iftar, two Huffaz would lead him in Nafal Salah. And each Hafiz would recite one Juz. And thereafter, he would perform the Isha Salah. And after Isha Salah, after the Isha Salah, he would perform his Taraweeh. And after Taraweeh, again two Huffaz would lead him in Nafal Salah until half the night. And thereafter, another two huffaz would come. The first two huffaz will leave, and another two huffaz will come, and they would lead him in nafal salah until suhoor. So from maghrib until suhoor, he would remain standing in salah listening to the Quran. He would perform his maghrib salah. After maghrib salah, he would have his iftar. After food, immediately he would engage in nafal salah, and two huffaz would lead him in nafal salah, and each would recite one juz. Thereafter Isha salah, after Isha Tarawi, and after Tarawi, two huffaz would lead him in nafal salah until half the night, and another two will come, and they would continue for the remaining half the night until suhoor. And Shaykhul Hind rahimahullah ta'ala, Maulana Mahmood Hasan Sahib Deobandi rahimahullah ta'ala, he would also spend the whole night listening to the Quran. So maghrib, after maghrib futur, after futur, after iftar, awwabin, iftar, after the tarawih, and from after tarawih until suhoor, he would remain standing in one place, and the huffaz would continue to change, because they would not be able to maintain this practice throughout the 30 days. So Shaykhul Hind rahimahullah ta'ala would stand in the same place, and after two rakats, four rakats, one hafiz would go away, another hafiz would come. After two rakat, four rakat, this hafiz would go away, another hafiz would come throughout the month of Ramadan. So there were people like Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki rahimahullah ta'ala, Shaykhul Hind rahimahullah ta'ala, and Shaykh Abdul Rahim Raipuri rahimahullah ta'ala, and many more from the mutaqaddimin and from the mutaakhirin, from the time of the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in until today. There have always been people, there will always remain people who toiled, who exerted every effort to make the month of Ramadan valuable. Despite that, they used to feel that we were unable to value the month of Ramadan the way we should have valued the month of Ramadan. So we need to make this resolution. This is the principle we need to hold on to. That during my whole life, I cannot afford to waste a single second. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this life so that we may use it to prepare for the life hereafter. Allah has given us this life so that by using this life is also an asset. By using this asset of life, we are able to make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy. We are able to acquire His immense pleasure. The more good we do, the more pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we will be able to acquire. The more good we do, the more love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we will acquire. The more good we do, the more proximity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we will be able to acquire. So we need to value every moment, every second. Because the clock is ticking away, and every tick is taking us closer and closer to the hereafter. Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu said, إِرْتَحَلَتِ الدُّنْيَا مُدْبِرَةً وَارْتَحَلَتِ الْآخِرَةُ مُقْبِلَةً. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi has quoted this saying of Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, that Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu said, irtahalati dunya mudbiratan. This dunya is going away from us while its back is turned towards us. وَرْتَحَلَتِ الْآخِرَةُ مُقْبِلَةً And akhirat, the life hereafter, is coming from the front. So dunya is behind us, it is going away. Even if we turn round and look at dunya, dunya will not turn its face towards us. It has turned its face away from us and it's going. It's leaving us. And it is akhirat that is coming towards us. So we need to prepare for the life hereafter and welcome the hereafter. Dunya is leaving us. We will leave dunya, dunya will leave us. And it is not something that anyone can doubt. Because each person has seen examples of so many people leaving this world. And not a single person will say, well, everybody is gone, but this person hasn't gone and I think he's going to live forever. No, everybody knows that sooner or later he will leave. So, irtahalati dunya mudbiratan vartahalatil akhiratu mukbilatan. Dunya is leaving us. And akhirat is coming from the front. Dunya has turned its back away from us, it's going. From the day we were born, dunya was never coming towards us from the front. Dunya was leaving. The day we are born, with every tick, dunya is going away from us. So the day we are born, and from the time we are born, dunya takes one step away from us, second step away from us, three steps away from us, four steps away from us. Now some of us are 18 years old, some of us are 20 years old, some of us are 30 years old, some of us are 40 years old. Imagine how far dunya has gone away from us. And when we are born, akhirat is far away from us. How far? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allocated 80 years for us, then akhirat is 80 years away from us. 70 years away from us, 60 years away from us. But every moment, with the tick of the clock, akhirat is taking one step towards us. So it is coming closer and closer and closer and closer and closer. So someone like me, who is in his 50s, he should believe. And it's not difficult for somebody in 50s to believe, somebody in 40s to believe, that akhirat is more nearer to me than dunya. Because dunya has walked away 40 years. And how much more will I live in this world? 25 years, 30 years? So majority part of my life is gone. And less is left. And those in their 18, 20s, they may feel that 20 years of my life is gone, but I still have another 50 years, I still have another 40 years. But who knows? Allah may have allocated only 25 years for you. Allah may have allocated only 30 years for you. Somebody who is in 50s like me, Allah may have allocated 70 years for him. So there still remains more than 20 years. And that person who is only 20 years old, Allah may have allocated only 25 years for him. So only 5 years left. So clock is ticking away and every tick is taking us away from this world, towards the akhirat. We do not realize this. Why? Because physically we remain in this world. But no. No. What are we made of? We are made of days. So if I was given 1 year in this world, that means I was given 365 days. When one day passes, part of my life is gone. A second day passes, another part of my life is gone. A third day passes, another part of my life is gone. And if from the 365 days that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allocated for me, If 300 days passes, that means a large chunk of my life is gone. Only 65 days left. Abu Darda radiyallahu ta'ala anhu would say, Yabna Adam, O the son of Adam, innama anta ayyam, you are only days. You are nothing but days. What are you? What are you? What is your existence is life. Life is your existence. If you pass away, you don't exist. Your body will be there, your corpse will be there, but you don't exist. Despite your corpses being there, people will not say, Brother Ibrahim is here, Brother Ismail is here, Brother Ahmed is here. They will say, Brother Ibrahim has passed away. Brother Ismail has gone into the rahmat and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this body is not our existence. It is the ruh, the soul, that lies within the body. And that soul will only be able to remain in this world for as long as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permits. And Allah has allocated time for each and every one of us in this world. 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 50 years, 50 times 365, 40 times 365. So we are made up of days. Our existence is nothing but days. And Abu Darda radiyallahu anhu further says, فَإِذَا ذَهَبَ مِنْكَ يَوْمٌ ذَهَبَ بَعْدُكَ. When a day passes from your life, it is not a day that has gone. Part of you has gone. Part of you has gone. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allocated 60 years for somebody, and 57 years of his life passes away, that means he has only 3 years left. That large chunk has already gone. So Ali radiyallahu ta'ala says, irtahalati dunya mudbiratan wartahalatil akhiratu mukbilatan. This dunya, it is going away from us with its back turned towards us. It will not even look back towards us. It is going. Dunya has no interest in us. It is akhirah that is coming from the front. And the akhirat will welcome us. Akhirat will envelope us. And if we have done good, we will go in Jannah. If we have done bad, we will remain in the fire of Jahannam. يسر المرء ما ذهب الليالي ولكن ذهابهن له ذهابا. The passing of the days and the nights makes a person happy. But little does he realize that the passing of the days and the nights is not the passing of the days and nights. Passing of the days and nights is this person's passing away from this world. So many people celebrate birthdays. If a person was given £1,000 to spend, he went for shopping and he spent £100. So now £900 left. Then he went again and he spent another £100. £800 left. He went again, he spent another £100. £700 left. Upon every £100 that he spends, will he come back and celebrate? Will he feel happy? Or will he feel concerned? He will feel unhappy. He will feel concerned. That I only have £900 left. I only have £800 left. I only have £700 left. This life is also an asset, just like money. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, 80 years of life to utilize it and make our life hereafter better. When 1 year passes, is it something to rejoice? Or is it something to be concerned about? How can we rejoice? How can we celebrate our birthdays? When on that particular day we realize that another 365 valuable days of my life has gone. On birthdays, we should sit down on our own and contemplate and think how the last year was spent. If it was spent in the pursuit of the hereafter, and if we were 100% sure that yes, I have spent these 365 days in such a way that my Creator must be happy with me, then we should have celebrated. But at the end of the year, who can say that yes, I have spent this whole year in such a way that my Creator must be happy with me? Majority of us, if we assess our lives, if we self-reckon ourselves, if we self-assess ourselves, we will find that a large chunk of this whole year was wasted in layani, futile activities. And another large chunk was spent in disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a very small portion of these 365 days was spent in the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in doing good. And if we go deep into the good that we had done, if we check properly, then many amal will be void of sincerity. And if a person carries out a good deed without sincerity, then that is sinning. So those amal will be useless as well. And we will find many amal against the sunnah method, contrary to the teachings of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is for this reason Ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma would say, kaifa nafrah, how can we rejoice, wal mautu min waraina wal quburu amamana, how can we rejoice when death is following us, death is behind us? How can we rejoice when we know that death will pounce at any moment? Kaifa nafrah, how can we rejoice when we know that death is behind us? Death will pounce at any time. There is no guarantee. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us into this world for a fixed period of time, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not told us for how long you will live in this world. Only Allah knows. So even that person who has come into this life to live for 1,000 years, only Allah knows that he will live for 1,000 years. He will always this fear looming over his head that death may strike, death may strike, death may strike. When he wakes up in the morning, he will say to himself, or at least he should say to himself, that I don't know whether I will be able to see the sunset or not. And when he enters the night and when he goes to sleep, before going to sleep, he should say to himself that I don't know whether I will wake up or not. Let me make istighfar, let me make tawbah, let me ask Allah to forgive me. When a person leaves his home, he does not know whether he will return home or not, whether he will be able to see his wife and children or not. So many people have left home and they could not return, their janazah returned. Allahu Akbar Kabira. Allahu Akbar Kabira. So a mu'min should always keep this at the forefront of his mind, that I have not come into this world to live forever and ever. Allah has sent me into this world and Allah has given me this life as an asset. And it is Allah's desire that I utilize this asset of life in doing those things that will make my life hereafter better. Ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala says, kaifa nafrah, how can we rejoice, wal mautu min waraina, when the death is coming from behind, it is behind us, it is searching for us, it is waiting for that right moment to strike. Wal qubur amamana, and the graves are in front of us. Wa bayna yaday Rabbina Mawkifuna. And how can we rejoice? When we know that a time is going to come when we will be made to stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we will be questioned regarding each and every second of this life. Regarding each and every word that we had uttered. Regarding each and every deed that we carried out. وَعَلَى السِّرَاطِ مُرُورُنَا. How can I rejoice? How can we rejoice when we know that a time is going to come when we will have to cross the sirat? And below the sirat will be the fire of Jahannam. And on the other side will be Jannah. When we do not know whether we will be able to cross the sirat or not, how can we rejoice? So, my friends, my sons, my daughters, my brothers, my sisters, my mothers, my elders, we need to value each and every second of our lives. And blessed moments like Ramadan, we need to value even more. Blessed moments like Ramadan, blessed nights, blessed days like Friday, blessed days like Arafah, blessed nights like Laylatul Qadr, we need to value it even more. We need to value this life. Let us reflect. How have I spent this life so far? How have I spent this month of Ramadan? These last approximately 48 hours. Has these 2 days been different from Shaban, from Rajab? Has my behavior changed? Has my focus changed? Is there any increase in my ibadah? And if there is any increase in ibadah, in tilawat, in zikr, in tasbih, then the question we need to ask is that have I totally abstained from disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these 2 days? Have I been able to safeguard my gazes? Have I been able to safeguard my tongue? Have I been able to safeguard myself from listening to those things which I should not be listening? Ramadan is a training ground. It is training period. Let us resist sinful activities. Let us safeguard our eyes, safeguard our ears, safeguard our tongue, safeguard each and every limb of the body from disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all the worship that we carry out, let us carry them out in a way that it is pleasing to the Creator. Let us do everything according to the Sunnah method. And let us do everything with sincerity only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the principle that we have to remember throughout our lives is, I cannot afford to waste a single moment of my life. And especially during blessed moments like Ramadan, I cannot afford to waste a single moment. 2 days have gone. They will not come back again. 40, 50 Ramadans have gone. 5, 10 Ramadans have gone. And I have not been able to secure the pleasure of my Creator. I have not been able to train my nafs in such a way that it becomes mutmainna. I was not able to make my nafs-e mutmainna, the peaceful soul. The soul that is content with the taqdeer of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the soul that is content with every command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the soul that is content with every belief sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I was not able to make my soul nafs-e mutmainna. My nafs remained ammara outside Ramadan and in Ramadan and after Ramadan. Nafsi ammara. The nafs that continually encourages a person to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And instead of following the directives of my Creator, directives of my beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, even during the month of Ramadan, I have been following the directives of my nafs. Let us assess the Ramadan of 2019, the Ramadan of 2018, the Ramadan of 2017. How did we behave? Did we control our nafs? Our ibadat increases in the month of Ramadan. Our worship increases in the month of Ramadan. Our devotion does increase in the month of Ramadan. Our tilawat increases. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. But again, it's per convenience. We don't go out of our way to subjugate our nafs. We don't put any strain on our nafs. Shah Abdul Rahim Raipuri Rahmatullahi Alayhi, rarely sleeping more than 1 hour throughout the month of Ramadan. The Imdadullah Muhajiri Makki Rahimahullah Ta'ala, listening to the Quran throughout the night. Shaykhul Hind Maulana Mahmood Rasan Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi, listening to the Quran throughout the night. Hazrat Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullahi Ali. Even during the months of June and July, when the heat would be intense, after the Maghrib Salat, in Nafl, he would recite at least two Juz. And then during the night, he would spend at least 2.5 to 3 hours in performing tahajjud. And they continued to do this during their old age also. And this is the month of Ramadan. Hazrat Maulana Khalil Ahmad Saharanpuri Rahimahullah Ta'ala. They valued their lives. And especially they valued blessed moments and blessed places even more. It is recorded regarding him that when he went to Haramain Sharifain, and in those days when people would go to perform Hajj, they would not go only for 2 weeks or 3 weeks. They would go for months, 2 months, 3 months. It is recorded regarding him that during his journey for Hajj, those people who were with him, they have recorded this. Hazrat Maulana Ashiq Ilahi Mirti Rahimahullah Ta'ala writes this in Tazkiratul Khalil, the biography of Hazrat Maulana Khalil Ahmad Saharanpuri Rahmatullahi Alayhi, that during the whole stay in Haramain Sharifain, Makkah Mukarrama, Medina Munawwara, there was not a single salat that Maulana Khalil Ahmad Saharanpuri Rahmatullah Alayhi did not perform in the first row. And we learn from the hadith of Ibn Majah Sharif that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala mayaminis sufuf." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the angels send their blessings upon those people who perform salat on the right hand side of the imam. So Maulana Khalil Ahmad Saharanpuri Rahmatullah Ali performed every salat in the first saf. Those of us who have been for Umrah, not Hajj, for Umrah. Is it easy to perform salat in the first row? In order to perform salat in the first row, a person will have to go to the masjid 1.5 hours, 2 hours before salat. So many people perform salat in the first row, but not all five times salat. In order to acquire the virtue of performing salat in the first row, a person may attempt once during the journey or once during the day. Hazrat Maulana Khalil Ahmad Sahranpuri rahmatullahi performed all his salat in the first row during the whole journey in Makkah Mukarrama and Madina Munawwara and on the right hand side of the Imam. Is it fard? Is it wajib to perform salat in the first row and on the right hand side of the Imam? And Hazrat Maulana Ashiq Ilahi Sahib Rahmatullah writes that one day it was raining very heavily. And the water was flowing in the streets of Makkah Mukarrama. And we could see from the windows that the water is up to the knees. And Hazrat was in his old age. So that day we thought that today Hazrat will not perform his salat in the first row. And he said that we were caught off guard. Because today the weather was bad. And from the living quarters to go to Haram Sharif would be difficult in this water, especially for an old person. So he said, Hazrat prepared to go for Salat earlier than normal time. He had performed wuzu, he was ready. But when he saw that we were not ready, he said that I am going for Salat, you follow me. You come behind me. So it was flooding the streets of Makkah Mukarrama with water. Despite that, he went and he performed his salat in the first row. Let us value our lives. And from now, let us value our lives. Let us not waste a single moment. And the whole life. And especially the blessed moments, blessed days, Fridays, blessed day. When we are in the masjid, blessed place. When we are reciting the Quran at home, that is blessed moment. Let us value it. Let us focus, concentrate on the Quran. There are so many of us who sit and recite the Quran with the mobile next to us. So we are reciting the Quran, we are doing zikr, we are listening to a bayan. We are engaged in dini activity, but the focus is mobile. My friends, let us learn to switch off the mobile. Let us learn to ignore the mobile at times. For example, when you go to sleep at night, then we need to learn to either switch off the mobile or ignore the mobile from the time we sleep until we wake up. Because it is the right of the body to sleep well. And if we sleep well, we will be able to concentrate more on the activities that we need to carry out the following day, whether worldly activities or religious activities. Let us learn to ignore the mobile whilst we are eating. Hakimul Ummah, Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahimahullah ta'ala, whilst eating, if he was asked a difficult question in regards to deen, he would refuse to answer. He would say that the mind should not be occupied in something else whilst eating. So that the food is consumed well and the food is digested well. A person should eat, it is from the etiquettes of eating that whilst eating, a person should remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person should eat with the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if he does talk, then he should talk about dini matters. But light conversation, not something heavy. Now we are eating, and sometimes we become engrossed in the telephone conversation so much that we do not even realize what we are eating and how much we are eating. When we are studying books, let us learn to ignore the mobile. Let us learn to switch off the mobile. There, we should allocate time for everything. When we are driving, we should not use the mobile. When we are sleeping, we should switch off the mobile or ignore the mobile. When in ibadat, we should ignore the mobile. When in dini talks, we should ignore the mobile. When we are in the masjid, we should ignore the mobile. If we remain connected to the mobile, that means we remain connected to dunya, even when we should connect ourselves to deen and the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. So let us learn to value each and every second of this life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. I have said earlier that the clock is ticking away. Ho rahi hai umr misle barf kam. The life is decreasing like the melting ice. Ho rahi hai umr misle barf kam. If you take out ice from the freezer, then it begins to melt. You cannot stop it melting. We cannot stop our lives melting. So the life is melting just like the ice. Ho rahi hai umr misle barf kam. Chupke chupke. Quietly, quietly. When the ice melts, it doesn't make noise. Sometimes we take out ice in a bowl and we put it somewhere on the table, on the worktop, on the sink, and we get busy with something else, and before we know, that ice has turned into water. So it's become useless now. You cannot use it for the purpose you wanted to use it for. So quietly, quietly, silently, the life is decreased. It doesn't make noise. It doesn't make you feel that my life is passing. Ho rahi hai umr misle barf kam. Chupke chupke. Slowly, slowly. Quietly, quietly. Rafta rafta. Slowly, slowly. Dam badam. So it's melting quietly, melting slowly. It's not like flood. Slowly, slowly. Dam badam. Breath by breath. Hazrat Shah Abdul Ghani Phulpuri Rahmatullahi Ali, he says that one day I left my house in the afternoon in scorching heat to go somewhere. In hot countries like India, Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, the Middle East, in May, June, July, August, especially June and July, you hardly see people leaving their homes in villages especially. In cities, live 24 hours, but in villages, it's very hot. And people don't need to go out, so they don't go out. Only out of necessity a person will leave. And here, when we go to the shop, when it is hot, we buy ice cream, we buy lollies. In India, in villages, in places where there are poor people, even in cities, a poor person will buy blocks of ice. He would buy 2 blocks of ice, 3 blocks of ice, 4 blocks of ice, depending on how much he is able to sell. So he knows that I will be able to sell 3 blocks of ice, 4 blocks of ice. And he would crush that block of ice. And he would put syrup on it, sprinkle syrup on it. So he would crush part of the block of ice, and he would make it into a bowl, a small bowl. And he would sprinkle syrup on it, and he would sell it like lolly. And people would suck the sweetness that is within the ice, and they would eat ice also. Now, a poor person, he will go to the place where the ice is sold, he will buy the ice, and he will stand from morning till afternoon, 3-4 o'clock, try to preserve the eyes as much as possible by covering it with cloth, whatever. It is melting slowly, slowly, but at the same time he's selling as well. And if he does not get customers, then it just melts away. And when that ice melts, his money is gone. Because he goes in the morning with 500 rupees and he will buy the ice. And by the evening he will sell the ice balls, lollies that he will make himself for 700 rupees. So he will put the 500 rupees on one side and he will buy food for his family with the 200 rupees and the following evening again he will buy the ice with the 500 rupees. Now if the ice melts, that means his whole asset is gone. So if he is not able to make 700, 600 rupees, he must make 500 rupees. So he is able to buy the ice the following day. So Shah Abdul Ghani Phulpuri Rahmatullah Alayhi says that once I left my home in the afternoon in scorching heat and remotely people were going from one side to the other and there was this man who was selling ice balls. And because it was very hot, people were not coming outside and they were not buying from him. He was crying out in anguish and he was saying, please, please buy from me before this ice melts. Please buy from me before this ice melts. Please, please come and buy from me. He was beseeching people. Now other people could not reflect. But Shah Abdul Ghani Phulpuri Rahmatullah Alayhi was a saintly person. He was connected to the Akhirat. He was from the people of Akhirat. So he said that I thought to myself that should all of us not be doing what he is doing? He is calling out in anguish that I must use this ice before it melts. So should not each of us be doing the same thing daily, that I should use my life before it melts? And make the life valuable just as he is trying to make the ice valuable. So dunya is going, akhirat is coming. And Ali radiallahu anhu says that walikulli wahidatin minhuma banun. Each of them has children. The dunya has children and the akhirat has children. Those people who forget the akhirat and strive for the dunya are the children of the dunya. And those people who forget the akhirah, who forget dunya, who ignore dunya, who use dunya only according to needs, and who concentrate on the akhirah and the preparation of the life hereafter, they are the children of the akhirat. So those people who ignore dunya and who strive for the akhirat, they are the children of the akhirat. And those people who forget akhirat and engage only in their worldly pursuits, they are the children of dunya. So Ali radiallahu anhu says that dunya is going, akhirat is coming. And for dunya and for akhirat are children. Those people who ignore akhirat and strive for dunya are the children of dunya. And those people who strive for dunya, for akhirat and ignore dunya, they are the children of akhirat. Ali radiallahu anhu, a very pious personality, a very close companion of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, a person of high eminence as far as deen is concerned. And he was fully aware of the dunya also. What does he say? فَكُونُ مِنْ أَبْنَاءِ الْآخِرَةِ وَلَا تَكُونُ مِنْ أَبْنَاءِ الدُّنْيَا. Be from the children of the Akhirat and do not be from the children of this world. Strive for the hereafter, not for this world. Not for this world. Because this world will leave you, or you will leave this world. مَا عِنْدَكُمْ يَنْفَدْ. What you have will perish. وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ بَاقْ. And what is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remain forever and ever. وَمَا تُقَدِّمُ لِيَنْفُسِكُمْ مِنْ خَيْرٍ. Whatever you send, whatever good you send forth for yourself in the hereafter, tajiduhu indallah, you will find it with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my brothers, my sisters, my friends, my sons, my daughters, I urge myself first and thereafter all the listeners, young and old, brothers and sisters, those who are associated to Deen and those who are far away from Deen, let us make this month of Ramadan, and from this month of Ramadan, let us make today a turning point in our lives. What do we need to do? We need to make a firm resolution that I will not waste a single second of this month of Ramadan. And inshallah, if I learn not to waste the moments of Ramadan, then Shawwal is no different. Zulqaada is no different. Zulhijjah is no different, because that is also part of my life. Ramadan is part of my life. Ramadan is different in virtue, but being part of my life, Ramadan is no different from Shawwal. Shawwal is no different from Ramadan. Shaban is no different from Ramadan. Ramadan is no different from Shaban. If I am able to value the month of Ramadan and make sure that I do not waste a single moment, then I can do the same in Shawwal, I can do the same in Zulqaada, I can do the same in Zulhijjah, I can do the same throughout the year, throughout my life. Yes, the ibadat may decrease, because in the month of Ramadan, those worldly affairs that can wait until after Ramadan, we should put it aside. And after Ramadan, we engage in our worldly matters also. But worldly matters, if we carry them out according to the wishes of the Creator, according to the wishes of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it will neither be layani nor disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when moments pass without layani, without futility, and without disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is proof that we have utilized those moments. So we need to value every moment of this month of Ramadan. And in order to utilize this month of Ramadan, how do we utilize each and every second of Ramadan? By not engaging in disobedience to Allah or layani. Layani means anything that neither benefits us in this world nor the hereafter. It is not sin. It is not sin. It is permissible. For example, listening to football commentary, listening to cricket commentary, it is permissible. As long as we do not get so obsessed that we violate the compulsory commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person gets so obsessed that he does not realize it is Zohar time. He does not realize it is Asar time. He does not realize that Zohar is becoming Qada. Then listening to commentary will become impermissible. But if somebody is not obsessed and he is carrying out all the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is able to fulfill the rights of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whilst listening to the commentary, he realizes the rights of his wife, rights of his parents, rights of his children. And he also realizes the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he carries them all out. This listening to commentary does not become an obstacle. Then it is permissible. But it is layani. Listening to commentary of football, cricket, hockey, it neither brings benefit in this world nor the hereafter. And something that neither brings benefit in this world nor the hereafter, it is wastage of life. And when a person engages in layani, in futile activity, that means he has not valued those moments. He has wasted those moments. It does not bring any harm, but it brings no benefit either. It's like a person leaving his home with a 50 pound note. And when he returns home with fruits and vegetables and shopping. So he has not wasted 50 pounds. You have a second person. A second person goes out with a 50 pound note and he returns with a very, very poisonous, dangerous snake. He buys a dangerous, poisonous snake for 50 pounds. And he lets it free in the house. He has misused 50 pounds. And he has brought harm with those 50 pounds. The first person who did shopping, he brought benefit with the 50 pounds. The second person, he brought harm with the 50 pounds. A person who utilizes his valuable moments of life in doing good, in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in doing those things that bring the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is like that person who goes with a 50 pound note and who returns with shopping, who returns with things that benefit his household. And you have another person who utilizes the valuable moments of life in disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is like a person who leaves his home with a 50 pound note and he returns with a very, very dangerous snake. Utilizing the blessed moments of life, utilizing the valuable moments of life in disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is buying destruction in the fire of hell. And then you have a third person. A third person leaves his home with a 50 pound note and he throws that 50 pound note in the ocean. He throws that 50 pound note in the river. When he returns home, he returns empty-handed. So he does not come back with anything beneficial nor anything harmful. What would the people of the household say when they learn that he has just thrown away 50 pounds? You have made a very big loss. Why? Because the 50-pound note was something valuable and you did not get anything in return. So similarly, those of us who spend the valuable moments of our lives in layani, in futile activities that neither brings harm nor benefit, is in reality harm. Because we have wasted the valuable moments through which we were able to acquire the blessings and bounties of Jannah. So the principle that we need to keep in mind is that inshallah we will not waste a single moment of our lives, especially during the blessed moments, the month of Ramadan. The blessed moments of the month of Ramadan, number one. And in order to value every single moment, in order to make sure that we don't waste a single moment, what do we need to keep in mind? We need to keep in mind that we don't engage in sinful activities or layani. If we stay away from layani, if we stay away from sinful activities, then we have valued the moments of this blessed month. Then we have valued our life. And if we engage in layani, if we engage in disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have wasted those moments. Those moments that pass by in layani and those moments that pass by in disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the moments of life that we have wasted, we are wasting, and we will waste if we continue to do that. So we need to repent today sincerely in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and resolve that, oh Allah, we have wasted millions of blessed and valuable moments of our lives. We repent and we make a firm resolution that we will neither engage in layani nor sins. And in order to do that, in order to abstain from layani and sinful activities, only resolve is not sufficient. With a firm resolve, with repentance, we need to do a few things. Number one, we need to stay away from bad company. Number two, we need to stay away from bad environment. And number three, we need to mix with people as little as possible, only when necessary. So if we stay away from wrong environment, if we stay away from wrong company, and if we mix less, then inshallah, we will be able to safeguard ourselves from layani and from disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we are able to safeguard ourselves from disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and layani, futile activities, then you would be able to say that alhamdulillah, I have not wasted the moments of my life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to value this month of Ramadan, value our lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to stay away from sinful activities throughout Ramadan, throughout our lives, be that sin a major or minor. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instill in our hearts hatred for sinful activities, hatred for disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put inclination in our hearts for obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for good amal and for good deeds. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard all of us from layani also throughout our lives. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this month of Ramadan a memorable one, as a result of which, on the day of Qiyamah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us our book of deeds in our right hands, and when we will look back and ask ourselves that as a result of which Ramadan I have acquired these blessings in the hereafter, we will be able to say it was the Ramadan of 2020 when we made a U-turn. Let us make a U-turn. Let us make a firm resolution that inshallah we will value each and every moment of our lives and we will utilize it in acquiring the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Try to stay in good company, stay away from bad company. Social media, internet can be bad company, good company as well. It could be good environment, bad environment. So don't misuse social media. And also perform all your 5 times salat on time with jamaat if possible in the home. If not, then on your own. And perform 20 rakat taraweeh also daily. And try to recite as much Quran as possible. Inshallah, we will try to talk on these aspects later on in some other majalis. And we should try to increase charity as well in the month of Ramadan. And every Muslim should perform tahajjud salah during the month of Ramadan. So if suhoor is at 3:30, for example, then we should have suhoor at 3:10, 20 minutes should be sufficient, and before that 20-25 minutes we should perform 2 rakat, or 4 rakat is even better, 6 rakat is even more better, and 8 rakat is the best, because Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to perform 8 rakats, and thereafter make dua, and thereafter have suhoor. So tahajjud also. And during the month of Ramadan, we should all try to recite Kalima-i-Tayyiba as much as possible. La ilaha illallah. The whole Kalima-i-Tayyiba or only La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. And istighfar also. And we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance, for Jannah, safety from Jahannam. And do as many good deeds as possible. try to make targets that I will recite at least 3 juz every day, at least 4 juz every day, at least 5 juz every day, 6 juz every day according to your ability. And any free time that you have, spend in reciting the Quran or Zikrullah. Instead of chit-chatting on the mobile here and there, it's better that you try to disconnect yourself from all the activities of the outside world. And every day before the Maghrib Salat, 10 minutes, 15 minutes before Maghrib Salat, engage in dua. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. رب اغفر وارحم وتجاوز عما تعلم إنك أنت العز الأكرم. اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا. اللهم اغفر لنا ما قدمنا وما أخرنا وما أسررنا وما أعلنا وما أنت أعلم به منا. أنت المقدم وأنت المؤخر لا إله إلا أنت. يا رب كل شيء بقدرتك على كل شيء اغفر لنا كل شيء حتى لا تسألنا عن شيء. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم اجعل خير أعمالنا خواتيمها وخير أعمارنا أواخرها وخير أيامنا يوم نلقاك فيه. يا ولي الإسلام وأهله ثبتنا به حتى نلقاك. اللهم اجعلنا من وتقاء شهر رمضان. اللهم اجعلنا من وتقاء شهر رمضان. اللهم اجعلنا من وتقاء شهر رمضان. لا إله إلا الله نستغفر الله. لا إله إلا الله نستغفر الله. لا إله إلا الله نستغفر الله. نسألك الجنة ونعوذ بك من النار. اللهم اغفر لأمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم ارحم أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم أصلح أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم تجاوز عن سيئات أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم اهد أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم إنا نعوذ برضاك من سخطك وبعفوك من عقابك وبك منك جل وجهك لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. آمين.